How much should you worry about R factors and agreement between models and experimental data, or something calculated from experimental data? Could you ever get perfect agreement? Would you ever see perfect agreement between a model and something calculated from the data? If you look at the protein data bank, the very best structures have got a residual, an R factor, of about 20%. You don't see many below that. For NMR, you can't look this up in the protein data bank in general. I have never seen anybody get a perfect fit of distance information to their model. Okay, that doesn't mean it's not possible. It is, however, impossible to get perfect agreement, because in the real world, the data is never perfect. There's always some noise. But there's something absolutely more fundamental. If you had a magic wand and could remove experimental noise and errors, you would still not get a perfect fit between coordinates and things you measure, because our model for the data is not correct. So we say, we go to the protein data bank, we have some coordinates, and we treat these coordinates as fixed points in space, as if they were frozen there. But of course, they're not. I'll show you an example in a moment of something which is really broken, where the model is wrong. And then you could look at technical errors all the way. When I talk about X-ray crystallography, and more so with cryo-EM, the scattering factors, how big is an atom? Those are not really absolutely known. They are, if you're talking serious chemistry, they depend on the environment of an atom, right? We're talking about basically distributions of electron clouds, which move up and down bonds anyway. So our model as a set of round frozen spheres are always round, that's fundamentally too simple for the real world. So we can never get perfect agreement. Right? You cannot get an R value of zero. Now, another aspect of this, you might expect the more data I have and the better the quality of the data, the happier I am. Yeah, that's true. But there's a downside or a problem here. Consider an example that I make up. So etwas erfunden in NMR. I've got a bunch of distances and I calculate out coordinates, and I do this 500 times. And every time I do it, some of the distances are not quite correct. 5, 10 of the distances always seem to be violated. There could be a physical reason for that, but 5 or 10 of the distances are always wrong. Okay, so I go back to my list of distances and I remove those few distances from the list. And then I repeat the calculation, and now my structures agree with the original data. This does not seem like a fair thing to do. Remove data that you don't like. Yeah, but I now have no violations. My structures agree with the distances I have given them. So you can take this to an extreme example and say, what if I have absolutely no distances? So I just take this list, I throw it away, and I calculate structures, which I can do with distance geometry. At the end of it, I have no violations at all. I would be generating random heteropolymer chains, random self-avoiding connected heteropolymer chains. They would be all over the place, every possible confirmation, but they would not violate any distance restraints. So let's look at this in the most general possible point of, from the most general possible point of view. The more data I have, and the more precise that data is, the smaller the space of allowed solutions. So the better defined my system is, the harder it is to find the correct answer. So if you've got extremely good data and you do everything correctly, you might still find that you have a high R value. My example was from NMR, but the logic applies to crystallographic data as well. Let me give you an extreme but real example from X-ray crystallography. I just went through the protein data bank and found some structures which have got very high resolution data. And I came across a nice picture. With X-ray crystallography, if the data is very good, you often notice that you cannot fit it with the simple model that we normally use. So there's something in the protein data bank called 3A0M, and they fit the coordinates to their data, and they always got very bad R factors. They then went back and actually did something that has never been mentioned in our lectures, but you can do it in rare cases. They said, here's a bit of protein chain, here's a bit of protein chain, and at this position here, we will put in two copies of the coordinates. So one copy, so it looks like a proline, goes along here and curves down. The other copy goes along here and curves back up. So they are saying that they get the best fit to the data if they have half of the probability in this conformation and half of the probability in that conformation. So this isn't a lecture about alternative conformations, but it's saying in this case, you can see that there is never, ever, ever going to be a single set of coordinates which can explain a system which has got half the density up here and half the density down there. Right? Using the standard model for building density and calculating structure factors, you would never, ever, ever be able to get agreement between coordinates and your data. And in this case, they noticed it. So they said, okay, we can justify a more complicated model. So in general, the more data you have, the more precise data you have, the possible or allowed coordinate space will be smaller. So that's a good place to stop this little topic. Remember, everything has been about comparing models with data and not the topic of how good are my coordinates, which will come back. And the nature of the data is very different with cryo-EM, electron microscopy, and X-ray crystallography. And you will never, ever, ever be able to get perfect agreement between what you calculate from your models and what you have measured. And some of these issues are going to come back in a little while when I talk about the quality of structures and comparisons and uncertainty from the three methods. Aber das reicht jetzt.